May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
All Saints. The Sunday after All Saints. Well, that phrase, that name, All Saints, I'll be honest, I suppose it's become something of a loaded phrase here. Let's be honest, let's call a spade a spade. I'm going to name the elephant in the room right off the bat. For those of us who've been here in this parish, those of you who've been here in this parish, or those of us who've been in the diocese for more than just a couple of years, we know the name has been invested with some alternate meaning in the Quad Cities, referring to terms of the local church to some who went their separate way. I just want to name that and get it out of the way. I thought about that several times while writing this week. And primarily, I want us to remember that this is our feast. This is a feast of the Church Catholic, and it is a very important day to us. And remembering what this day is about, what this particular Sunday in the octave of All Saints is about, just might help us move beyond any acid in our mouths or any acid in our hearts. The Feast of All Saints is kept on the 1st of November, and we also keep it on the Sunday within the octave as well, hence it falling today on this Sunday. And traditionally, it was kept for all of those saints within the 2,000-year life of the Church who do not have a particular day of their own on the calendar. The saints who are largely unknown and who might only be known to a small circle of people, sometimes only in a local church. Or perhaps saints who are truly, entirely unknown, but yet who keep the faith, who kept the faith, and who ran the course of their earthly lives focused entirely on their Lord and Savior. Now when we think of all saints in that manner, we need to look perhaps in three directions, three places, I believe. We look to the past, to the Christian witnesses throughout the ages who've given up themselves for the extension of the kingdom and who have been witnesses for the gospel. And maybe you know some of them personally. I mean, think back in your life. You know, think back and consider the Christians you've known throughout the years, those who've been your mentors, your teachers, your role models, your guides, maybe the person who helped you come into the church at some point, maybe someone who first shared the good news of Jesus Christ with you. On this day, give thanks for those saints. Give thanks for those saints of the church. I mean, since I've been here, there have been a lot of names that people have tossed out from time to time within the history of this parish. You know, they share with me how important they were to so many people, how faithful they were. I always get this, I'm sure you know, this fellow by the name of Jack Couch, his name always pops up when people talk about the recent history of the parish. Some whom I've had the chance to meet just briefly, Ken Pinto. Someone we just recently said goodbye to, Joe Palmer. People who stretch back a long way in the life of the parish. And I know each and every one of you could probably add a whole number of names to a list like that, couldn't you? Well, if we look to the past for such saints, you know, in our local sphere, if we look to the past, but we also need to look around us as well. I've asked you to do this already since I've been here. Right now, look side to side. Go ahead. Look to each other. Side to side, in front of you, in back of you. And consider the members of this parish family around you. These two are the saints of God and are as much a part of the church, of course. As such, we are the mystical body of Christ, the members of his body, and just as much a family of a sort as our flesh and blood families. I mean, we can rightly call one another brothers and sisters in Christ, can't we? And as such, we are charged with being ready to lay down our lives for one another and to serve one another just as Christ came to serve. finally we also need to look outward, you know. Look outside of our windows, outside of our doors. We need to look at those who are not yet in Christ's fold. Those who are not yet in the family of faith. And our work as a parish and as individuals is to witness, isn't it? To show the redeeming love of God in Jesus Christ to all among whom we work, among whom we study, and among whom we do all of our day-to-day living. You know, the business of the church, someone once said, and I wish I could recall who said it. I cannot. The business of the church is making saints. We're not a social service organization. The work of the church is making saints. And that's a phrase with a lot of varied meanings, but certainly it speaks to our need to move outside of our comfort zone and share the good news of Jesus Christ with a world that is so desperately, desperately hungry for it. But in all of this, though, there's a key component that cannot be overlooked. It can't just be brushed aside. You see, we can't just call ourselves a bunch of saints. We couldn't call ourselves all saints just because we love one another, or just because we try to get along, or just because we try to do good things, or just because we have any kind of earthly things in common. And that's not what it's about. There's something that binds together the saints throughout all the ages with the saints of the church today. And if any wish to number themselves among all saints, well, they would need to share something very, very, very critical. There's a critical component that you need to share. And it's something proclaimed in the epistle reading today. We heard it in the epistle today from the first chapter of the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. And you can go ahead and read that over at your leisure. I'd like you to do that later on. But if you recall, when you heard that read, what is this thing? This thing, this critical component of being all saints. What is that thing? What is it that allows us to be numbered among the saints? Faith. Faith. A unified faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And this is the necessary ingredient. In a sense, it's the only ingredient. It's the litmus test, as it were. The test that we believe the same things that the saints have believed for 2,000 years. Unchanged, unchanging, unwavering. Never backing down from it. That's what it takes. Proclaiming the truth in love, always proclaiming it in love. But always holding it is the unchangeable truth. That Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life and the only way to the Father. I mean, in recent months or years, you may have heard stories about so-called bishops in other corners of what used to be the church saying that Jesus is not the only way. That's rubbish. That's rubbish. That's wrong, and that's death-dealing. That leads to death. The saints of God hold faith with the teachings of the church throughout all ages. And we cannot change our definitions of who Jesus Christ is, the definition of who Jesus Christ is, or what He came for, or particularly for our need for Him, because we know ourselves to be broken. And we need one thing. We need one thing. We need it desperately. And that what we need is Jesus Christ. We cannot change the definition of the holy and undivided Trinity just because we're more concerned about politically correct language than we are with salvation and the redemption of the world that He loves so much. That the only begotten Son of the Father came to save. We cannot change what we believe about the primacy of Holy Scripture in the life of the Christian church just because we're more interested in human concerns or feelings than we are with God's eternal plan for the universe and His love for all mankind. You See, we hold the faith of the saints. And we hold our faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And that is what binds us together as the communion of saints. I mean, think about those Christian mentors that you've had through the years. Think about your role models in the faith. We hold the same faith, don't we? Exactly. We're holding the same faith as they did. Think about the saints of the church throughout 2,000 years and across East and West. We hold the same faith, don't we? And that is what makes this an assembly of all the saints. That we are here joined as one because of that common faith, because of a love for one another, and a desire to share that same faith with all the world. To share that same 2,000-year-old unchanged and unchanging faith and unchanging message with all those to whom we meet wherever we are. That is the unity of the gospel, and that is the faith of all saints. It's not just about some kind of warm, fuzzy feeling about being together, or about familiar faces, familiar words, or comforting sermons. It's not about that at all. It is about the life-changing power of the true and living God of the universe and the personal relationship we have with Him as His church through the one who is the head of the church, Jesus Christ. It's all about being called to serve Him and then coming just as we are, but being changed into who He would have us be. Coming just as we are, but not expecting to stay that way. Being changed into who He would have us be. And thanks be to God that Trinity Anglican Church in Rock Island upholds this faith. Thank God that it has done so for over 150 years. I thank God that I've been called to come here and step into that stream. And as we proclaim this faith, we then step into the work that the church has been doing and the faith that the church has been sharing for nearly 2,000 years. And for this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power in us who believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.